Hello and welcome to another Monday episode of It's Not You, It's Them, But It Might Be You with me, La La La, Let Me Explain. Before I start, I want to give a trigger warning for this one. This one is featuring some discussion of child abuse, satanic ritual abuse, but I do think that you true crime lovers will also hopefully enjoy this podcast. Because today I want to talk to you about a Channel 4 program that aired last week called Accused, the Hampstead Paedophile Hoax. And the reason I want to talk about this is it was very interesting for me to watch it from my social work perspective. And I got loads of messages from my listeners saying, oh, I really want to know your opinion on this and how this hoax could have turned into what it was. So that's what I want to do. I want to give you my opinion. And even if you haven't watched the show, I mean, you should go and watch the show. It's interesting. But even if you haven't, I think you might find this episode interesting. So, Accused, the Hampstead Paedophile Hoax, is a Channel 4 show that focused on the experiences of several mothers of children who all went to the same school in Hampstead, North London. And they were accused, along with 175 other parents in that school, of being part of a satanic paedophile ring operating out of the school and the local church. And this accusation was being made by another parent at the school, a woman named Ella Draper. And concerns were raised by parents before this accusation was made about Ella's parenting of her two children, Abigail and Joseph. She was known at the school to be a bit of a strange woman, and she'd fallen out with a number of people. People, I think, had just general concerns about her parenting, but there was like an incident at a party or something where she said her children didn't have any allergies or like food, you know, needs. And then the child was given a sausage sandwich or something. And then she picked the child up from the party and was like, my child is vegan, and caused all these problems and kind of made herself a bit of an enemy among the parents at the school. Abigail and Joseph are the children of Ella Draper and a biological father, I'm not sure that we know the name of him, who was in a custody battle with Ella. Now, Ella also then found a boyfriend in the midst of this custody battle with the children's dad, a man named Abraham Christie, who moved in to the house with Ella and her children after only a few weeks, I think, of knowing each other. Ella and Abraham are into New Age wellness. She's a facial yoga teacher, and he was like a conspiracy theorist who sells hemp online. And they decided to record a film that went viral of Abigail and Joseph talking about how they've been raped and abused at school, and that multiple children at their school were experiencing the same abuse, and that all the parents were involved. This is how this whole thing started. Have a listen to part of a recording of the video that made these children go viral.
In addition to the allegations of paedophilia, Abigail and Joseph claimed in the videos that the entire school community, led by their father, was involved in satanic ritual abuse.
What happens in the church?
So we killed babies and teachers, and we danced with the skulls.
You what?
We danced with the skulls in the church.
What skulls?
The skulls of the baby.
After the children's videos were uploaded online, an explosive statement from Ella appeared on YouTube.
I believe my children are telling the truth when they describe that their father is the leader of a satanic cult. I also believe that many parents abuse the children at the school as part of a satanic cult.
Babies are supplied from all over the world. They are abused, tortured with rat traps,
injected in the neck, and their necks are cut with a sharp knife held by them.
They buy them, inject them, and send by TNT, DHL service, or the parents bring them from other parts of the world.
The other woman's voice that you heard there is an actress who is playing one of the parents who is named by this family as being part of the satanic paedophile cult in this school. I remember watching it at the time, actually. I remember seeing this video. You may well have seen the video yourself of these two children. It was a much longer video of them talking really explicitly about some kind of satanic ritual, sexual abuse, with Abraham Christie in the background, like, go on, tell them what you're saying. Go on, go on. And it's, I mean, you can literally hear the excitement in Abraham's voice in this video. It's not the voice of somebody who, I mean, imagine your children genuinely coming home from school. I mean, they weren't his children. He was their stepfather, I guess. But imagine your children coming home and telling you this. You would not be in a video like, go on, tell them what, you know, it's just not the way that you would react to that kind of statement coming from a child. And you can hear the coaching of the children. It is not the way in which children would explain that level of what has been happening to them. So we sat there watching this video. I remember when it came out, I was with social workers, and one social worker actually did feel that it could potentially be true, but the rest of us knew in a heartbeat that these claims clearly weren't. And actually, we also worked with the child abuse investigation team that were closely linked to Camden child abuse investigation team. So we knew from our police officers that we worked with that investigations had found nothing of the sort, and that the claims that were being made on YouTube about serious physical and sexual abuse would result in serious injuries to these children. None of these children had cuts to their necks. None of these children had injection sites. None of these children had any evidence that they'd been trapped by rat traps. None of the children in the school corroborated the accounts of Abigail and Joseph, and there were just no injured children. You would just know about it. But Ella and Abraham publicly named all of the children in their children's school who they alleged to have been being abused, and they did this all on their website, and this went viral. Millions of views were being racked up of the video of Abigail and Joseph, but also of the rest of the stuff that Ella and Abraham were putting out, which included a table with the children's names, the children from that school, and details on this graph about which of those children liked sex and which ones needed to be drugged in order to engage with sex, with their names, their contact details. Listen to the man who created this story.
Ella's new boyfriend was a man called Abraham Christie, a convicted criminal with links to conspiracy theorists.
They want to make one world religion, Satanism, and they want everybody to bow down to that. So they could take your children, torture your children, rape them, kill them, harvest their organs, drink their blood, and eat their flesh.
And it is just so confusing to me that this could have taken hold, that this conspiracy theory by this man who sounds like that could be believed by anyone. And if actually you want to know, because I shouldn't really be going too much into the detail of this case, that's boring for you, you really need to listen to Hoaxed by Tortoise Media, which is a podcast that really delves into this Hampstead hoax. But basically, this allegation took hold. Despite how illegitimate Abraham Christie sounds, it became a conspiracy theory that took off. It got legs, and millions of people were viewing the videos and believing it all to be true. And this led to the children and parents who were being alleged to be part of the satanic ritual abuse receiving genuine death threats. People on internet forums were discussing plots to kidnap their children to rescue them. People were plotting how to harm them, all off the back of the words of a random couple who just do not sound or present themselves one bit like people whose word you should be taking. And it's crazy because millions of people took the allegations made by Ella and Abraham as gospel and got involved on internet forums, coming up with ideas of how to protect these children from their own parents. And people truly believed that they were some kind of child protection crusaders, but who actually, by giving weight to these crazy claims, were literally the only ones who were actually harming these children. But people really do get quite insane when it comes to this topic of child protection. And sometimes facts don't mean that much to people. I remember in 2020, when an alarming number of people became convinced that Wayfair was selling children disguised as cupboards. Wayfair had a range of cupboards that had girls' names. And it just so happened that there had been girls in America with those names who at some point had also been reported missing. But remember, millions of girls are reported missing in America every year, probably of every single name that you could think of. And reported missing isn't as scary as it sounds. You know, if I was to say to you 100 children are reported missing in London every day, we could turn that into a panicky thing like, oh my God, where are these children? But actually, the facts are that about 83 of them would end up being back within 24 hours, less than 24 hours, and 91 of them would be back within something like 36 hours. Less than 2% would be missing for more than a week. Anyway, all the girls in the cupboards who shared names with the Wayfair cupboards had actually returned home. A lot of them had to release statements at the time that this Wayfair panic was going on to say, I'm not missing, I'm not in a cupboard, I'm home. But that didn't stop people thinking that if you paid for a certain wardrobe from Wayfair, you would end up having a child delivered in a box. And this was right at the beginning of COVID, a time where people were completely suspicious of everything and were consuming hours of content during lockdown, a lot of like far right conspiracy stuff. And there is actually a big crossover between anti-vax, anti-mask kind of people and those who believe in satanic paedophile elites running the world, selling children via Wayfair. Not all, but there is a big portion of the Venn diagram. You know, imagine a Venn diagram where you have those circles that kind of cross over each other. You know, the XL bully breeder, COVID isn't real, plandemic kind of guy is usually the same one who is anti-sex education in schools, who believes that there is an LGBTQ agenda to sexualize our children, and who gets carried away with what they read in the internet, but who won't believe academics or evidence. And there's also another part of that Venn diagram that includes kind of new age Gwyneth Paltrow goop types. And none of whom are evil or stupid. None of these people who cross over on the Venn diagram of those kind of beliefs, you know, they have the right intentions. They're just often easily duped by believing things that they hear on the internet and not looking into like science or facts. And satanic panic has been a thing for centuries. And at the root of it is always, knowingly or unknowingly, anti-Semitism. The first tropes around this kind of stuff started with rumours about Jewish people, false allegations that Jews drink the blood of Christians in religious rituals, killing babies and drinking blood. And when people talk about the elites, they generally mean the Jews and the false belief that Jews run Hollywood and own the world. And in the 80s and 90s, what was known as satanic panic gripped the UK and the US media and saw a number of high-profile cases where it was believed that satanic ritual abuse had been taking place, but it turned out that it had actually been completely made up. A lot of the satanic panic can be based around schools and daycare, and actually there is some evidence around this coming back to the right-wing evangelical Christianity. And it's a fight against feminism because what people are trying to say is don't send your kids to daycare, it's destroying the nuclear family, there's all these risks at daycare, women should be staying at home with their children. So there's a lot of these things are tied up in like the political and, you know, beliefs of the day and age. And in more recent times, QAnon has ignited a narrative about child sex trafficking and ritual abuse organised by a network of Hollywood celebrities and executives and Democratic politicians, mainly like the Clintons or any celeb that's a bit like left-leaning or supports non-Republicans. There's loads of claims that they are all part of some kind of demonic paedophile ring and that they sacrifice children for adrenochrome, which is like a hormone made out of adrenaline, I think, which is actually a real thing. But apparently all of these people kill children and drink it to stay young. But it's weird to me because Hillary Clinton isn't exactly famed for looking like a spring chicken. You know what I mean? Nobody's around here like, wow, Hillary Clinton looks 30 years old. So I don't understand how anyone can think that she's doing anything particularly insane to look how she looks. She looks her age, but she's meant to be drinking from this like illegal fountain of youth along with Oprah. And again, Oprah looks her age. She doesn't look 20 years younger or 30 years younger. So if they are drinking this shit, then it's clearly not working. Hi guys, it's me and I'm here to tell you about another Sony Music Entertainment podcast. Now, I know you all like to have a deeper look and get under the skin of a subject. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to me deconstructing hot topics and getting into the nitty-gritty with all your dating dilemmas. So I think you're going to love Getting Curious with the fabulous Jonathan Van Ness from Queer Eye. Every week, they deep dive into conversations with a variety of experts on some really, really important and eye or ear opening topics like the history of abortion and the science of sleep. Get excited, get curious, and listen to Getting Curious wherever you get your podcasts. Let me tell you what I know about Satanism, actually, from being a social worker. I had a case once where a family had been referred to us by their children's school. And the initial referral said that they had identified as practicing Satanists, them and the children. They'd joined this new school and listed down that they were practicing Satanists. And the school actually had no other concerns for the children. They were well cared for, they were happy and they were thriving. But they wrote in to say this is obviously a concern for these children. The parents are Satanists. And in my naivety at the time, as soon as I saw it, I was like, fuck, this is serious. This is a Section 47, which is the highest level of child protection, because these parents must be having a mental health breakdown or be really fucking scary. And I took it to my manager, like, these parents are Satanists. And my manager agreed. And we sent the referral off to the police, and the detective sergeant called back, and she was a proper experienced woman in her 50s. She was a bit scary, like kind of line of duty character, like a really hard, she knew what she was doing. If you had a child protection case, you wanted her on it. And she called me back and she explained to me that actually atheistic Satanism isn't evil or scary or devil worshipping or dangerous to children at all. And even, do you know what? Even me saying it, I'm even with this research that I've been doing, as I listened to a few Satanist podcasts, and obviously I did research at the time when this case came in, and I felt like scared of it. I felt like scared to listen to the podcast and scared to read like the satanic, you know, their book and all of that kind of stuff. I felt like, ah, something bad's going to happen to me. And I'm not even religious at all, but it just felt weird to be reading about it. And, you know, yeah, there's something scary about it to me. It makes me anxious. It's like I don't want to be supporting Satan, even though I don't believe he exists, you know? But also, Satanists don't believe that Satan exists. Satanists are actually, there's nothing to do with the devil. They do not worship the devil. And they have seven tenets that are all just like really nice, the things that Satanists stand by. They're about consent and standing up for yourself and others. And it's actually all about denouncing the control of religion completely and advocating for people to be free, to be themselves. Most Satanists are actually ex-Catholics or Christians who found those religions super harmful. In one podcast I listened to, they spoke of the hurt and shame that they felt in church every Sunday, being told that their God hated people for this, for being gay or for whatever. And actually they wanted to come out of that box that told them that was, you know, they were bad because of who they were. So Satanism isn't actually about drinking blood or hurting people. And one of their tenets is specifically about never harming anyone. They're activists who think it's important to stand up for the underdog. And like I say, I find the word scary, Satanist, but ultimately it's not what we think it means. It would have been wrong and uninformed of me to jump straight in assuming that they're harming their children and having a mental breakdown before doing some basic research on their religion. I met those parents and those children and they were great. It was eye-opening and no children were being harmed. However, I have seen evil, devil, Satan, spirit stuff being used in cases of child sexual abuse. And not because the perpetrator is a practicing Satanist, but because he, or usually he, occasionally she, are using it to frighten their victim. Often in very religious families, using that idea of evil, devil can really work to groom children or to groom parents. I worked on a case once where a woman had three kids. She'd been in an abusive relationship with their father and he'd left and she was doing really well with her three girls. They were doing well at school and she was holding things together in a difficult circumstance because obviously she'd left abuse and she was a single mum of three. And then she met a man and he actually, everything about him reminds me very much of that Abraham Christie from this show. They even look the same. He was a Reiki healer and some kind of spiritual guru. And he moved himself into her house within weeks of knowing her. And he basically took her over on a spiritual level, like literally took her over. I've never seen anything like this level of brainwashing. She became a complete different person, totally indebted to him and under his control. Her parenting skills went completely out the window. And he had her believing that there was something wrong with her and her daughters, that they needed to meditate for hours, that school was poisoning their minds with a corrupt agenda, so they stopped going. And over months, he groomed her fully. He took them off the radar, those kids. And I can't actually remember how the case came to us. I think one of the daughters had disclosed to someone, medical or a friend or something, that he'd been sexually assaulting her under the guise of spiritual cleansing. But it was terrifying how much he'd altered this family's life in a short time by terrifying them into believing that the devil was somehow in them. So this stuff happens. Do not get me wrong in what I'm saying. It just happens in a different way to what people fear when they're fearing this whole satanic panic thing. There are child abusers in every section of society, but the facts are that the most likely place for a child to experience sexual abuse is in her own home or in a residential care setting. By dad, brother, uncle, babysitter, foster carer, mum's best friend's husband. We should not be having hysteria about there being an agenda to sexualize children because schools are abusing kids. We should be worried about the fact that domestic abuse and sexual abuse so often coexist. As a social worker, the other type of satanic or ritualistic cases that I encountered were to do with witchcraft. In some African countries, like Uganda, witchcraft is a widely held belief. It was a widely held belief here too, back in the day, and formed one of the biggest historical satanic panics, burning women at the stake. Because we were witches. It's extremely rare in the UK for children to be harmed in this way, but think of a case like Victoria Climbier, God rest her soul. Her carer took her to a church and said that she had the devil in her. She was covered in injuries, but the pastor did nothing other than pray over her to cast out the evil spirit. And sometimes the idea that a child is evil will be used to justify abusing them. Sometimes it was exorcisms on gay children. But it's nearly always the family or extended family who they've been sent here to live with. It is not big organised networks of social workers, police, etc. Obviously, we know that predators are attracted to jobs that give them power and access to vulnerable people. So you're going to get abusers in all echelons of society. Rich ones like Ian Watkins from The Lost Prophet, who used their fame to groom and abuse. And the police did nothing because they were so overwhelmed with his fame and couldn't believe anything other than it was jealous groupies reporting him. It wasn't like some big organised setup why it took so long for the police to get involved. It's because they're like, oh, a famous guy could never do this. It's priests and religious leaders who use their power to groom and abuse, which gets covered up by the church, not because the entire church is one big paedophile ring, but because they care more about protecting men and reputation in their institution than they do about victims. It's foster carers who use their access to groom and abuse, but it's never some council-wide deep state shit where people are covering stuff up and stealing children. The myth that social workers are stealing children is just ridiculous. For starters, do you have any idea how incompetent council departments are? It is the blind leading the fucking blind for the most part. They are chaotic, run down, under-resourced and underfunded. And their fuck-ups in social services are usually caused by poor training, overworking and not having competent enough staff and leaders. It is not because of some organised or sinister plot. And there are, of course, sinister people. Wayne Cousins, for example, right in the police. But it wasn't some big organised thing where every judge and social worker and police officer were all involved in some large-scale operation. Obviously, it's more than one bad apple, but it's not some huge organised thing. And whilst people are hysterical about the myths, they take their eyes off the priests and the pastors and the fathers and the grandfathers, the ones who are doing the most harm to our children out here. And there are a lot of different online groups and pages who are convinced that social services are stealing children. And a lot of these groups are made up of people who've lost custody of their own children. Even though it had all been debunked, Ella and Abraham continued to post about this satanic panic on their YouTube channels. And this was picked up by conspiracy theorists and also an anti-social services activist named Sabine McNeil, who was an unqualified legal advisor who was obsessed with the idea that social services are commissioned to take children. Sabine was so convinced that these parents were all harming their children that she headed this huge campaign that actually led to the harm of those parents and those children. And social workers just don't operate in this way. This idea that social workers are nobody's listening, children are all being abused, social workers are stealing them. It's just, it's bollocks. Anyway, back to the accused. The case went to court and the judge explicitly threw out Ella and Abraham's claims and made it very clear that they couldn't be true. But Ella and the conspiracy theorists twist the High Court ruling to fit a narrative. You can't win with conspiracy theorists because anything that the authorities do will be seen as proof. If police and social services take no further action, it's perceived as a cover-up. If a judge says that there's no abuse happening, it's perceived that the judge is also involved with that abuse. But it's just so hard for me to get my head around how anyone could listen to Abraham, Sabine and Ella and think, these guys sound so much more legit than a High Court judge. When in fact it was actually Abraham who was abusing the children. It all came out in the end that Abraham had been physically abusing and coercing Abigail and Joseph into creating these false testimonies. And also that he'd done it before. This was not his first rodeo. And in this case, with Abigail and Joseph, Abraham had moved into the family home only months before the allegation videos were put online. And then he abused them to make them record the films, coaching the children in the most abusive way. And actually, it's really important for me to say that step-parents, and most commonly stepfather, is such a potential big red flag. Not all, obviously, but there is a big fucking link between the number of homicides and serious injuries where a step-parent is involved. Victoria Climbier, Baby P, Daniel Pelkar, Star Hobbs, Arthur Labigno Hughes, Jacob Crouch. The list of children who were harmed where a step-parent has been involved goes on and on and on. Abraham enters this family's life as a stepfather, and actually the danger to those children as a result of that is much huger than any of these satanic panic lies. The mum believed in these lies too because she loved him and she wanted him around, and it's so often the case that we see. There were protests regularly outside the children's school and outside the church. People were really vehemently angry and very like murderous about all of this. They really wanted to harm these parents. But despite Ella and Abraham being the harmful ones, the conspiracies raged on, causing more and more concern for the families involved. The documentary shows a QAnoner called Robert Quaintance, who through his YouTube fundraised thousands to get to the UK to kidnap and drug the alleged victims. In the end of all of this, the mothers featured in Accused struggled to get the CPS initially to take them seriously, and the police were barely helping. But eventually, they used the victim's right to review to demand that the case was reopened, and Sabine was convicted of stalking. And she served 4 years, but she doesn't accept the verdict.
Why is it you felt so compelled to act on behalf of those children? It must have been a difficult experience to...
Emily, when somebody cries for help and is nearly sinking, then you try to get them out of wherever they're in, don't you?
And I think that that's a really interesting place to end, which is that Sabine, who went hell for leather on these parents, who was then evicted eventually of stalking, but in her mind, she was doing the complete opposite. Her heart really is in the right place, essentially. She's horrified by the idea of child abuse, and she truly believes what she is saying and what she's hearing. And as are so many of these people who are putting their energy into satanic panics. They're not actually awful people. They're just people who've been conned into believing the wrong thing about how child abuse operates. And despite all the evidence, Abraham's posts are still an ongoing theory in the conspiracy groups. They still believe the children's initial account, even though it's been fully debunked. And you know, I want to end this in a positive way. I want to end this by saying, you know what, you can trust the police and social services. But the truth is, actually, in many cases, you can't. Not fully. It's actually potluck what kind of service you'll get these days. But the good thing is that you can go to bed sleeping easy tonight, because I can absolutely guarantee you, truly, that things are largely transparent and that shit will eventually always come out, and that there aren't big, massive, scary networks of people running these systems trying to harm children. Satanic paedophile cults are beyond rare. So if you were worried about them, honestly, it is one less thing for you to worry about. And I actually have no idea how to end this podcast on a positive note because it's about child abuse. But yeah, watch the show on Channel 4, listen to the Hoaxed podcast, and then listen to me, hopefully, with a much lighter topic on Wednesday, or go back to one of my icks for a bit more light relief. Because how can I end? I can't end this in any other way. But I hope you've learned something there, and I hope you feel less scared of satanic paedophile illegal cults, because they largely are just totally fucking made up.
La la la, let me explain.
This has been a Sony Music Entertainment production.